Right, is that okay? Amen? All right, we'll just start reading and going through the book of Titus, and if we get through all of it, we get through all of it. If we don't get through all of it, then so be it, all right? And I ain't going to take a whole lot of time. I'm trying to really get to chapter number 2 and the first part of chapter number 2, but we will just kind of go slowly through, not necessarily slowly, but we will try to go through chapter number 1 and just kind of get the gist of what's going on here. So the Bible says in chapter number 1, if you're there, say amen again. Now, verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, listen to this, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. Somebody ought to shout. Amen. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. I pray that you understand the importance of preaching. Go back to that verse, if you will, Miss Carrie. It says, but hath in due times manifested, or revealed his word. How? Y'all help me now. Come on. It's right there. Through preaching. All right? Through preaching. That's how God has designed his word to go forth. And that is through preaching. All right? And Paul says that that is exactly what was committed to him according to the commandment of God our Savior. So God commanded him to preach. Now, verse number 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. And so by this very title, by my own son, we realize that Paul is speaking in a spiritual sense. Paul is the one who led Timothy, or not Timothy, but Timothy too, I'm sure, through Paul's preaching, but Titus in particular, he calls him his own son after the common faith, all right? The Bible says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So verse number 5, we start getting into the reasoning and the purpose behind the book of Titus. The Bible says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And so when we get to this verse, we understand why Paul is writing this book. He's writing this letter to young Titus, and he is giving Titus a job, a commission. I call this the care of the church. I'm going to outline as we go through, and this is what I call the care of the church. As we went through the missionary journeys, Paul goes to the island of Crete, and there on the island of Crete, he has a very successful evangelistic ministry, and he planted many churches on the island of Crete, or the Isle of Crete. There was many cities, and he went throughout the region, and he established churches in each of these individual cities. He now tells us that he has left Titus, or he has placed Titus there in Crete, on the Isle of Crete, for a purpose. And what he is to do is to set in order the things that are wanting. In other words, there was only a short time span that Paul was able to be there with these churches, and now Titus is given the job as the troubleshooter, if you will. He will go into these churches, and he will set in order how the church is to be conducted, or how it is to conduct itself, how it is to be ran, and how it is to be governed. And so that is the job of Titus. The care of the church was left to Titus under the direction of Paul. You can see that the Bible says, and ordain elders in every city. Every place that there's a church, you're to ordain an elder. Now, this elder will be called something else here very soon. He will be called a bishop, all right? Don't let the two words confuse you. Elders and bishop is the same thing as a pastor, all right? And so these elders in every city are pastors in every city. The official term will be bishop, and it'll be used here in a couple of verses, I believe verse number 7, but we'll take a look at it as we go. But Paul tells him to go and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee or commanded thee or directed thee, is what Paul is saying. Now in verse number 6 he says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless. And so we start off and Paul says, I want you to go and I want you to ordain elders. He said, but you can't just set any man up in these churches. Everybody all right? We have this idea that just because somebody says they're called of God or just because they want to be a pastor, that they are able to be a pastor. All right? But according to the Bible, there were qualifications that this bishop, this elder, had to meet for him to lead the flock of God. Do you understand the leadership role of the pastor in the local New Testament church? Do we understand that? Yes, no, do we understand it? All right, God has set up the local church with a pastor. As directed by Paul, Titus was to go out and he was to ordain deacons. Did y'all see that in there? It wasn't in there. Careful, I got you. All right? It wasn't nowhere in there about him ordaining deacons. What was he to do? Ordain elders, ordain bishops, the preachers, the pastor, all right? Now, deacons have their place, but we live in a society today that we feel like deacons run the church. Is everybody all right? I mean, I got all night. I can be here all night. I was going to try to get us out of here early, but if I had to do some teaching on this, I will. But we live in a society today that we have a bunch of men that want to be deacons, that won't want to do the job of a deacon. What they feel like the job of a deacon is to run the church and tell the pastor what to do. But that's not biblical whatsoever. Not one bit of that is biblical whatsoever. Matter of fact, the very definition of a deacon is to be a servant. He is to serve and he is to do the things that you expect your pastor to do.
That's right.
Is everybody all right? All this visiting and going to see the sick and all this other stuff. Guess what the deacon's job is to do? His job was to go do all of that so the men of God could stay in the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that the preacher doesn't have the responsibility of doing some of those things, but that's what the deacons are supposed to do. But the deacons in today's society don't want to do any of that. They want to run their own businesses, and they want to make money and do their own thing, and then come in and tell the church how it needs to be ran and how the preacher needs to be ran.
That's
right. Y'all okay?
Yep.
I told you I was going to do some teaching tonight, all right? So Paul tells Titus, he says, hey, I want you to go in there to these churches that are already established. And he says, you are to ordain elders, all right? But you can't just ordain anybody. You can't just put anybody in the office of an elder or a bishop. You can't put anybody in the office of a pastor because there are some qualifications that he must meet or he is not qualified to lead the flock of God. And the job of a pastor is to lead the flock of God. I'm not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. But this particular church right here, God has placed me as an under-shepherd, and my job is to guide and to lead this church. Okay? That's what the elder, that's what the bishop does. He has to be qualified to do that. So the Bible says he has to be blameless. That means he can't be accused of any grievous sin. All right? To my knowledge, ain't none of y'all can accuse me of any grievous sin. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I have any grievous sin, but I got some sin, all right? But I can say this, I'm qualified when it comes to being blameless. I like this, the Bible says this, it says the husband of one wife. Now, there's a whole lot of controversy over this, but the fact is that that word, the wording in this means a one-woman man.
Amen.
Guess what I am? A one woman man. I've been with her ever since I was in high school. I married her as soon as I graduated high school. I ain't been with nobody else but her. Is everybody all right? All right, I met that qualification. I was just making sure. The Bible says that I got to have good kids. I don't know. I mean, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And they fail a lot. But I think my children are all right. Hey, don't start. I'll be piled up in there by y'all's kids in a minute now. Don't start. The Bible says in verse number 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, and not self-willed. That means not selfish, not doing it for his own purposes or his own goal, his own greediness.
That's right.
Not soon angry. This is one y'all need praying. I need praying on. The Bible says, not given to wine. It means I can have some.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. You all right? It says not given to wine. It means basically what that very word means is not a slave to. The Bible goes on, it says, no striker. Now, this ain't dealing with what I want to do. It's just dealing with what I do. And I'm not a striker, all right? Some of y'all get that by the time y'all get home, all right? Oh. Not given to filthy lucre. In other words, he ain't in it for the money. I'm going to go ahead and stop right here, and I'm going to tell you that I believe with all my heart that probably 75 to 90% of the preachers that are standing in pulpits today are doing it for the money.
Amen.
I mean that. You can get that. You can get mad at me. You can do whatever you want to. But you can tell a man's heart by every time he does something, if it's centered around money and something has to do with money, if it's a question of money, I want y'all to know something. Y'all may not know this, but when me and my wife came here, we didn't know how much money we were going to make.
That's right.
We didn't negotiate how much money I was going to make when I came here, Brother Kenny. It ain't never been about money for me.
Right.
And we were literally here. I had already taken the job before they told me the church was broke, and this was all they was going to be able to pay me. All right, so I'm pretty qualified. Is what I'm getting at is I'll keep going. All right, but a lover of hospitality, and that I am. You call me up, I'll bring you to my house. We'll drink coffee. I'll meet you somewhere. We'll drink coffee. I do. I enjoy that. People come when preachers come through. We spend a lot of time over at our house. I love to entertain and to be with people. A lover of good men. That word men right there could be translated things. So a lover of good things, not necessarily good men, but a lover of good things. The Bible says sober. It doesn't mean, once again, it doesn't mean drunkenness. This is not what this word means. In this context, we've already dealt with not giving over to wine, so that covered the drunkenness. This was a man that was sound in his mind. A little question there, but anyhow, if you had to pastor what I did, you might not be sound mind either, all right? He had to be just. That means he had to be right with other people. He had to be holy. That means he has to be right with God. He has to be temperate. All right. What does that word mean? Self-control. All right. And so he has to be right with himself. All right. Is everybody good? All right. It moves on. It says this. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. A couple things right here. He's to hold fast to what? The word.
The word.
The word. He's holding fast the faithful word. It ain't about programs, y'all. And it ain't about doing this or having this on Wednesday nights and having this on Sunday nights and having this on Sunday morning. It's about your pastor being faithful to the Word of God. When he stands up in the pulpit, he's to preach the Word of God. He's not to preach on his opinions. He's not to preach on a soapbox. He's not to tell you what thus saith the Lord if God ain't said it. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught. He's not to be a newbie at it. I need somebody to say amen. We got some people that have a problem with preachers going to school. Preachers ought to be taught something. Lord knows what I've seen in preachers. We need some more teaching of preachers. All right? So as he hath been taught. Now, I'm not saying that he has to go to school, Brother Kenny. The Bible just says he has to be taught. Y'all help me.
Amen.
You're not just supposed to hand the Bible to a man and say, hey, or you preach.
That's
All right? He must be taught that he may be able by sound doctrine. Paul's going to use this word sound, I think, five times in the book of Titus, four times in the book of 1 Timothy, or in the book of Timothy, dealing with Timothy and his exhortation to the church there at Ephesus. Now Titus, he's giving him the same thing, and this word sound, we're going to see it over and over again, that he may be able by sound doctrine. That is true doctrine.
Amen.
All right. Both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. All right? So, not only is he to exhort or to encourage, but he better be willing to stand in the face of an adversary.
Amen.
And debate, not necessarily debate, but at least establish sound doctrine concerning anything they may bring against the church.
Amen.
So I think I can do that, all right? And I just want y'all to know your pastor is qualified, all right? Is everybody okay? As we go forward. Now, you might not think I'm qualified, but I can promise you in every sense of the word I am. Verse number 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So we dealt with the care of the church, but now we're getting into the counterfeits in the church.
Amen.
Okay? So we deal with the care of the church, and Paul, he sets this up, sends Titus to go and set in order the things that are lacking, and also to ordain elders or to appoint elders. I'd like to throw this out there, and don't get mad at me right here, but it wasn't a pastor's committee that went around searching for a preacher. Now, you have to understand this, too, that Paul was, he said at the very first verse, he said that he was an apostle. And so under his apostolic authority, he give authority to Titus to appoint or to ordain elders for the church.
Amen.
All right. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that in this day and probably should because we do not have any more apostles. All right. But in this instant, Paul was the apostle and Paul was setting this up and giving Titus the authority to set these men in place in these churches. But Paul said the reason you've got to have an elder in the church is because there's some counterfeits in the church.
Amen.
In other words, the reason you got to have a man that can both stand up there and encourage and exhort the congregation as well as to convince the gainsayers, you have to have that because of the presence of gainsayers.
Amen.
Okay? And so Paul identifies some of them right here in the very first verse. He tells us in verse number 10 here, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Who's he talking about? Judaizers, all right? These are these Jews. And they, if you go with me, if you were with me, as we taught through the book of Acts, you know that everywhere that Paul went, there was this little group of Jews that followed him around and tried to undo everything that he did or add to what he was doing. So Paul tells Titus, he said, you got to set these men in order, you got to set these churches in order, and you got to get men ordained and place them over these churches because there's deceivers. There's Judaizers. There's counterfeits that are coming into these churches, and they are preaching not sound doctrine, but their own doctrine, all right? The Bible says in verse number 11, whose mouth must be stopped. Hey, praise God. I like that. But he couldn't strike them. I liked it until I had to go back, Brother Jim. I liked it. Whose mouths need to be shut. That's what I was thinking. Man, and then I can't hit them. All right, so whose mouths must be stopped? Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not? For filthy lucre's sake. This is being done in our churches, y'all. I'm not going to call out preachers, but it's pretty obvious.
That's right.
When a preacher's up there for money and when a preacher's up there for the right reasons. It's real obvious to me. I can spot a counterfeit quick.
Amen.
And though you may celebrate him, and though others may celebrate him, that does not mean that he is right with God and is not a deceiver. Though he may have a good message every now and then, and though he's teaching things that ought not be taught. A lot of these guys that we watching on TV. Are we listening to on podcasts and we doing all this with? Is that at the end of it telling you to give to their ministry and give to this and give to that so they can reach more people?
Amen.
That's garbage. Is everybody all right?
Yep.
I'll move on. I don't want to upset you, but Paul's saying that there's some people that are preaching some things just for the sake of money. Verse number, he said, we got to have some people in there that can stand up to him. All right, now, verse number 12. The Bible says this, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts. That means wicked animals, savages. Is everybody all right? Slow bellies. That means, y'all ready for this? This is what it means. It means lazy gluttons.
That's right.
That's what it means. And listen to what Paul says. Verse number 13. This witness is true. Now, before we go any farther, we got to talk about this, all right? So we're done dealing with some deceivers that come in, but Jesse, he's on the Isle of Crete. And if we go back to verse number 12, Miss Carrie, if you will, I'm sorry. Go back to verse number 12. But when we go back to verse number 12, it says, one of themselves, even a prophet of them own, their own, said, the who? Cretans. Now, y'all help me, because who was the first group that we dealt with? The Jews, the circumcision. Now he's saying, oh, they some people in the church.
Amen.
Not only are they some false teachers in the Judaizers, but he's saying, hey, they some people that you got a pastor.
That's right.
And they're liars.
Amen.
Hey, y'all don't worry. Ain't nobody in trouble, I promise you. I'm not preaching this because anybody's in trouble, all right? So don't go looking around like, who ain't here tonight? Who ain't here tonight? It ain't got nothing to do with that, all right? This is just, we're preaching the whole counsel of God tonight, all right? Is everybody right? So the Cretans are always liars. Always, Jesse. They're always liars. You know what Paul said about it? It's a true witness. Paul says they're wicked savages. They'll turn on you. They'll do evil things to you. Paul said, it's true. He said, and they're lazy gluttons.
Amen.
They sorry. They won't get out and work. They ain't going to get it. Is everybody all right? Is everybody okay?
Amen.
So Titus, here's your job. Titus, you're going to go set elders over this church, and there's going to be people that's going to come against you, and the very people that they're going to try to tear them apart. Don't it sound like, come on, y'all, I need some help. Doesn't it sound like a very, how do we say it, a very enticing job to be a pastor?
Amen.
Bet y'all didn't see that before, have you? Mm-mm. No. What? All people that go to church are good people? Everybody that goes to church and knows how to dress right and talk right and look right and smell right, and they're all good people. If Paul was writing right now to us, he would say, that isn't true. He says, verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Who? Oh, wait a minute. We're going to love everybody. Come here. It'll be all right. Mm-mm. He says, he didn't even say reprove them, Brother Herman. He didn't even say reprove them easily or reprove them strongly. He uses words that says rebuke them sharply. Another word, can I say it like this? Don't put up with that junk.
Now,
you got to ask your question, is he talking to the deceivers or is he talking to the congregation here? Because we've dealt with two people. So the elder has a responsibility to rebuke them sharply, as well as Titus was given that. That they may be sound in the faith. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Now, he wasn't to run them off. He was to rebuke them sharply. In other words, he still has a job to lead them, even though they're going to try to bite him, even though they're going to be evil and stab him in the back, even though they're going to try to cut his throat, they're going to do all these things, he still got to be nice to them. Even though they're going to lie to him, he still has a responsibility. See, I think a lot of people, and I'm not being up here, I'm not asking for a pity party, but I don't think you fully understand what a pastor goes through.
Yep.
I don't care who you are, until you're pastored, you don't know what a pastor goes through.
That's right.
And so, Paul is warning Titus, hey, there's some things that's going to go on, and you still got to lead these people, even though they're liars, even though they're evil beasts, and even though they're slow bellies. Thinking Paul probably used some better wordages than that, but that's what we got, all right? Now, it says this, that they may be sound in the faith. That was the purpose of having an elder there.
Amen.
That the church be sound in the faith. We've lost that. We really have. We have folks that leave our church and go to churches of other denominations that's completely against the Bible. Which means I failed in my job of teaching them sound faith.
Right.
Maybe I should have rebuked sharply more.
Yeah. That's right.
Maybe I should have done things a little differently instead of, y'all get what I'm saying? I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying, you look at people, they're not in sound faith. They're not in sound doctrine preaching churches that have left here. You want to leave here, leave here. But go to a sound church. Don't go to one for the entertainment. That's the problem with America today, is we want to be entertained.
That's right.
Bible goes on, it says this. It says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now we're back on the Jews. We're back on the Jews now. These fables and these commandments of men. This was a earmark of the Jews and the Judaizers. They were bringing law back in and putting it on top of grace is what they were trying to do.
Amen.
And you'll remember that all through the book of Galatians and everything. Paul's dealing with this. You're bringing the law. They're trying to bring circumcision back and say, yeah, Jesus saves, but you got to be circumcised to be saved. Right? And so this is some of these commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is no thing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Once again, we're talking about the Judaizers. And what Paul is saying here is that some of the things that were being taught, let me give you an example. So the dietary laws of the Jews being taught. He's saying the things unto the pure, all things are pure. In other words, unto these Grecians or these Cretes who were Greeks, all right, he was saying that you're not under that. All things are pure. You can eat. I need somebody to say amen. You can eat bacon.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. And I figured I'd get an amen right there, all right. Now, verse number 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him.
Amen.
Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. All right? So he says these people that do these things, he says they profess that they know God. They probably even will try to convince you, Titus, that they know more about God than you do.
That's right.
He says, but in works they deny Him. All right, is everybody all right? Because this is where I want to sit for just a few moments and we'll get out of here, all right? They profess, we're not just talking about Judaizers. Now we're back on Judaizers and Cretes. He said there's going to be some that profess that they know God. But in works, they deny him. Okay? They profess it. I ain't talking about their accomplishments. I'm talking about in their lifestyle, they deny it. Okay? This is one of the problems I feel like is in the church, and I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church as a whole in the United States.
That's right.
We have an appearance of godliness, but deny the power thereof. In other words, we have a lot of people professing to be saved, but they couldn't prove that they are.
Yeah,
is everybody all right? And I don't want to scare you, because I'm not here to preach a message on and trying to make you doubt your salvation.
Right.
I'm just saying, as we have studied in the book of James, when somebody gets saved, there are works that take place that justify, not with God. How many of y'all remember that study? Works doesn't justify us before God.
That's right.
Where faith justifies us before God. Is everybody right?
Amen.
It is works that justify us before men.
Amen.
See, you should have been here for the study in James. If not, get with Brother Matt. Maybe he can figure out where it was at, but you need to have that. Because what James was teaching us was not that we needed works to get to heaven, but that our works is what told the world that we were what we professed to be. And he's saying there's a bunch that's going to be in the church that's going to profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable, a disgrace, being disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. All right? Now, y'all ready? Okay, so we got through chapter number one. We're fixing to roll into chapter number two.
Right.
Paul's giving him a warning. There's going to be some people in the church that profess God and this, that, and the other, but their works, their life, how they live is different than their profession. Verse number one. But speak thou the things which become. I told y'all we was going to see that word quite a bit. Sound doctrine. That the aged men. Now, you can define aged however you want to. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Paul said about the women who were widows that if they were under the age of 60, they would go find them another husband. So when he dealt with women concerning the aged women and those of widows, if they were above 60, the church had the responsibility of taking care of them. They did not have to remarry. The church was responsible for taking care of them if they had no family to take care of them. What? Yes. And boy, don't get me started on that, because we've been caught up in that mess around here too.
Amen.
Taking care of widows because their children too sorry to take care of them.
That's right.
I'll just keep moving right on. Everybody all right? So when we talk about the aged men, let's just go ahead. Can we say that if it's good enough for a woman, it's good enough for the man?
That's right.
How did my mama used to say it? If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. We'll just reverse that. If it's good for the gander, then it got to be good for the goose, all right? So we're going to deal with a man, the aged men, that let's just say 60, or let's just say this, those that are retired. No, I don't think it's out of that. That'd be a good one, though. But I was thinking more along the lines of gray. But anyhow. Easy. Preacher's got some gray. All right, y'all ready? All right, let's go. So, here's what he's to teach. Okay, listen to me, fellas. Y'all got to help me now. That the aged men be sober. Hey, grave. I mean serious, temperate, control, self-control, sound in faith. The men that were 60, they were to be sound in faith. That means they were to be able to, they were to be a lot farther along than the young guys.
That's right.
Y'all help me now. Don't get mad. Don't leave. Don't get upset. Sound in faith, in charity. You know, as we get older, how many of y'all has ever heard this terminology? We mellow out.
Amen.
Right? But it was the job of the older men in the church. According to Paul, Titus was to teach that it was a job of the older men in the church that they be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience.
Amen.
Now that patience don't mean to wait around or this, that, and the other. How you might think patience, that means to endure or to, what's the word that I'm looking for? Persevere. All right? And he says this, the aged women, likewise.
Amen.
That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Oh. Is everybody all right? All right, do I need to go over who the aged women are? Not false accusers. That means not slanderers and not gossips.
That's right.
See, listen to me. Even back in this day, 2,000 years ago, Paul said there's an issue with ladies that like to talk. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Now, I'm not identifying you as that. Paul did.
Amen.
Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Get mad about it. Take it up with God. Not given to much wine. My wife said, we're going to have a discussion later. Teachers of good things. That doesn't necessarily mean standing up and teaching a Sunday school class.
Right.
It means teachers, their lives is to be teachers of good things.
Amen.
All right, so who are they going to teach? I'm glad you asked. We're going to move on to that here in a minute. The Bible says this, that they may teach the young women. Wait a minute. It's the pastor's job to teach the young women.
No.
Not what Paul said. Not how he instructed Titus. He said it is the job of the aged women to teach the young women.
Amen.
Now, before you fellas think that y'all got off the hook, y'all ain't, because we're going to get back to the young men here in a little bit.
Amen.
But Paul is telling Titus, hey, I got to teach the young women to be sober. To love their husbands. That means you're to set an example of how to love your husband. Oh, I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
Your husband ain't a servant to you.
Right.
I need somebody to help me. We get up in age and we start reversing roles and women start leading men. That ain't how it was go. They're to teach the young women how to love their husbands and to love their children. How are they going to do that? By the example that they set. Not only by the example that they set, but we're talking about aged women who already have children out of the house. So now we're talking a discipleship role.
That's right.
All right? I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? We reading the word.
That's right.
See how it preaches itself?
Amen.
The care of the church, the counterfeits of the church. Now we're looking at the conduct of the church. The Bible tells us this, verse number 5, to be discreet, chaste, that means pure. Discreet means they are to, what is a good word for it? They are to handle themselves appropriately. We'll go on. Keepers at home. Y'all notice that ain't just sitting around at the house. Y'all notice that ain't going and buying McDonald's.
Amen.
He don't say cook, but he said keepers at home. So somebody got to keep the home. Somebody got to keep the, just saying. I need some men with a backbone that got a wife sitting by them. Say amen. Good. Better teach them to be good. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Ladies, read this next phrase with me. Men, just be quiet. Ladies, read this next phrase with me. Amen. Obedient to their own husbands. All right. Amen. I didn't say it. You did. That the word of God be not blasphemed. There's a reason that they're to do that, and they're to do it so the word of God isn't blasphemed. In other words, so the people outside the church aren't giving bad reports about the church.
That's right.
All right, is everybody okay? All right, let me move on, all right, because we're running out of time. The Bible says, young men, likewise exhort. Oh, the aged men, we're back in it. I say we, but I'm not we, all right? Is everybody all right? Y'all. Go ahead. Like Paul would say it, y'all. Y'all. Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. This is talking about Titus. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, that wording in that is not very good. It's because people would have evil things to say about you all the time. But here's what that wording means, that they can't give an evil report of something that you did. Okay? That's what the meaning is behind that word. It's not that somebody won't say something bad about you, because everybody in life knows that you can do good and somebody will say something bad about you. All right? So, he says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them all well. Now, this is dealing with slaves. All right? And in this society, they had slaves. The Bible does not condone it, neither does it condemn it here in this scripture. But I want to show you something, if you'll allow me to read it, and we're going to get a point to this all, and we'll get out of here. It says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. And don't read this as slaves. Let's take this in as employers.
That's right.
Or employees. So, exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, to their own masters, and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. That means not rebutting. Not saying, no, I'm going to do that. That means to do what you asked to do. Not purloining. That means don't steal from them. That don't mean just don't steal tools from them. Don't steal money from them. That means don't steal time from them. If they're paying you for 8 hours, work for 8 hours. If they're paying you for 10 hours, work 10 hours. All right? This is what Paul's trying to teach here. He says this, but showing all good fidelity, that they, listen, this is the reason, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He's saying the reason that you're to do this in front of your employer, and in front of your master in this case, but in front of your employer, is so that they will look at the gospel and they will look at the doctrine of God and the church, our Savior in all things, and they will look at it as something to be desired, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. This is good, y'all. Stay with me now. All right? So, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath, past tense, hath appeared to all men. That was Jesus. Teaching us that denying ungodliness Jesus taught us that. And worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Okay. Now he goes on into the next chapter, and we're not going to have time to get into that. But here's what I want us to get, and we're gone. All right. Paul's laying, he says, I want you to set in order the things of the church. I want you to go and ordain a pastor. This particular passage of scripture, he mentions nothing about deacons. You can go into the book of 1 Timothy, and the church at Ephesus was established probably a lot further along than these churches at Crete. And so they had deacons, and the deacons had qualifications. And by the way, the deacons' wives had qualifications. But he says, go and set these elders in place and teach them to teach the aged men that they have the responsibility to teach the young men by the example that they live in front of them. Now, this puts a responsibility on the aged men to be sound in faith, sober, patient, loving, all those things. That's what the older men, and that's what the pastor is to teach the younger men. I notice this, fellas, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. But most of the men that are in here, we ain't what I would call young. I won't say we're all aged, but I won't say that we're all young. Amen. So we have to do a better job in teaching the younger men that they have a place in church and they need to be here. The aged women. I didn't check out the women and find out who. I didn't try to do some kind of ratio on how many aged women I just noticed with the men. But the aged women, you have the responsibility to take these younger women and to teach them how to love a husband, how to love their children, how to be sober, sound. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Teaching them good things.
Right.
Now, you said they got to teach them to be obedient to husbands. So you said that. You deal with that however you want to with God. But you read it. I didn't. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
The point that I'm trying to make is that it's everybody's job in the church to work.
That's right.
Dalton, my son, while he does fall under the qualifications all the way back in chapter number 1, he does qualify. He does fall into the qualifications of a young man as well. So Dalton, I want you to stand up. So Dalton, he's learned from his daddy, and he is to learn from the older men. But I want you to know this. Dylan, I want you to stand up. Hardy B, stand up right there in that seat for me. Stand up in the seat for me. It's okay. I'm not going to embarrass you. His job, Dalton, our job, men, the aged men, myself, our job is to pour into these men. But there's a group of men that's coming up. They might not be men's, but there's a group that's coming up behind you that you're going to have to pour into. And this is where the church is missing it. We want to run into church and we want the preacher to do all the work, and the preacher's supposed to teach everybody this, that, and the other, but that's not the job. That's not how Paul said to set the church in order.
That's right.
He said the things that are lacking, he said, you go in and you set them in order, and this is how the church is to be operated. There's to be a pastor. Doesn't say anything about a deacon. There's to be a pastor. Okay? There's to be a pastor. That pastor and you, Titus, are to teach these men. The aged men, that they have a responsibility to the young men. The aged women, that they have a responsibility to the young men, or the young women. But yeah, listen, young women and young men, you have a responsibility to learn. And that's something that's missing in the church today too. We all have the responsibility of making Calvary Baptist Church what it is. It's not just on the preacher. It's just not on the Sunday school teachers or the choir directors. It's on every single one of us. And why do we do it? What's our motivation? The last part of chapter number 2. Verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, that's teaching those of us that are saved, that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust.
Amen.
We can't get away from that in teaching and preaching. We got too many people that want to live this. I'm just going to live however I want to and show up on church on Sunday and everything's going to be all right. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Why? Because it was ungodliness and worldly lust that put him on that cross.
Amen.
That's how grace teaches us. And so because he had to die, because he had to pay, because he was punished, it teaches us that we're not to live like that anymore. We're to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world.
Amen.
And why do we do that? So that those outside the walls of this church look at the church and say, man, God sure did a number on Brian Touchton. God sure did a work on Mark Munzhausen. God sure did a work in Miranda Douglas. God sure did a work in Matt Douglas and Carrie Eason. That is why you and I live denying ungodliness. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Man, we have a responsibility, and I think we're missing out on it. Church ain't just about us coming and getting our praise on.
That's right. That's right.
Church is about us coming and investing in others,
right,
no matter who you are.
Amen.
Thank you, fellas. Young, sit down. No matter who you are, you have a responsibility. And if you're one of them young ones, Cadence, some of y'all, y'all have the responsibility to listen to these ladies like Miss Lauren and these people that are trying to invest in you. We got to work together.
That's right.
Paul says, set in order the church. And this is how it's to be done. Man, y'all tell me, is there another passage of Scripture that's clearer than how the church is supposed to be set up than that right there? That's it. And we got through 2 chapters tonight. That 3rd chapter's pretty good too. But we'll save that for another night. You getting baptized tonight? Let's go, Jesse. Go get her baptized. Get back here. Amen.